This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Remember, when you walk out here, talking
Mike Shoop and the Bulldog.
Don't think you can walk in that ring and give me a hand or try to help me out and ease the tension in our relationship.
Mike Shoop.
The Rolex. Wearing diamond ring, wearing kiss stealing, woo!
The Bulldog.
Wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun.
On WGR.
And we're doing it better than anybody else alive.
Sports Radio 550.
All right, then. Good to have you along on a Thursday. What a nice day. I'll give Jeremy all kinds of grief about the Elite Fall thing and, like, claiming early September is fall because football starts and, like, it's gorgeous out, but, you know, it's summer. So, like, shut up with that. But a day like today is, I mean, it's hard to beat. I mean, it's just been a glorious day. Where I'm sitting in Duff's at the Boulevard and Military, in the back of the dining room here, really everyone here is just really loving me sitting here. But there's a huge wall of windows, facing Military Road. And, I don't know, a half a dozen times or more during commercial breaks, guys on motorcycles rolling by. And like, I sold my Harley like maybe 5 years ago now. So it's been a while for me. I mean, I miss it. You know, who knows? Someday, maybe I'll get another one. You know, probably gonna have to remodel a kitchen first. Anyway, that's a whole other story. I sold the bike to remodel a bathroom is what happened. So anyway, the kitchen's got to get done. But like five or six times, the guys rolling by on bikes, stopping to get gas at the gas station across the street, and I'm just looking at them thinking like, yeah, man, I totally get that. It might be the last best day. You know, like you still go for a while. I kept my bike out until November a couple of times. But, you know, the days where it's really nice and you're not just flat out freezing while you're riding, get few and far between at this time of the year. And today was definitely one of those days. Like, I just was looking, oh, man, like that is where you want to be. About the same thing on the way out here. By the time I get done today, it's too late. It's going to be dark, or just about dark now. That's how it goes. It's October. But I saw people out in boats on the way out here, too, thinking the same thing. Like, we've still got, speaking of Jeremy, the boat is still in the water at the marina. And, like, I wonder. I meant to text him when I got here, and I forgot. Like, boy, today, you know, like, you probably ought to get out there today. Like, there's probably not many more days that are this nice. You know, there's no real wind, and it's you know, it's nice. Anyway, that was the weather report from the Bulldog here.
I think if you're wearing a hoodie once the sun goes down, that's when it's like the peak. That's peak weather for me, and that's today.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not my favorite time of the year because I'm partial to summer because summer is, you know, I'm on the water every day
right.
in the summer, so like that's my favorite time of the year. But that's, you know, I got a very specific reason for that.
Can't go out on the water in early October. It's too cold.
See, I haven't done that. I guess, you know, really today would have been the day. I was up early enough. It was nice out. I probably should have thought. I guess I'm still adjusting to the fact that we own a boat. You know, like
sure.
we had possession of the boat for a few weeks during the summer, and used it some other times with Jer and his wife Molly. But I guess like I still don't. I haven't with the motorcycle. It was in the garage, and a day like today, you would get up and go. I gotta go ride today because it's gorgeous and it's October, right? I'm not to that place about the boat yet. You know what I mean? Like, I could easily go access it. I know how to, you know, I can get into it from the marina. I got the fob and everything to get, but I didn't wake up today and think, ooh, I should go out on the boat. I just haven't quite gotten to that level of boat ownership yet. You know, it's not.
You're not quite into the swing of things with it.
Yeah,
like
right.
Full-time.
Like, I'm still very new at it. You know, so I haven't quite dug in. Anyway, all right, enough about that. You, Joe, I'm glad you started talking here because I heard you and Louie. See, now I called him Louie that time.
Either way, it works either way, but yeah, doesn't
okay.
matter.
Okay, all right, sorry. Earlier I asked Joe, like his brother, he and his brother Lou, he were on together from noon to three today because Murph and Tasker are off with the Bills being on bye, and I referred to them, and I wanted to call Lou by his correct name, so I asked, is it Lou or Louie, and Joe told me Lou, and I said, okay, great, good, and just now I called him Louie. So now I'm all tangled up. Anyway, you guys were talking about trades. I mean, you covered a lot of ground, but mm-hmm. trading for, I heard you talking about Diggs and A.J. Green, and someone mentioned Von Miller, and I'm thinking about the caller. I said I would get to hopefully some of what the guy asked about, and he said edge rusher, like another guy. This is Jadeveon Clowney from the summer, right, Joe? We talked yep. about that a lot in the summer. I was really bullish on that, especially if I could buy low. I don't think you can buy low on Von Miller, probably.
No, that's going to cost a fortune. That's going to be what, maybe the Khalil Mack trade, like two firsts.
Right.
Maybe you get a second back,
yeah.
like two firsts. I don't know.
How I've not looked far into him. Do you know the vitals on him, age, contract, that stuff yet or no?
Yeah, he's 30 years old. His contract is absolutely enormous. It's a $25 million cap hit this year, and then it's 25.6 next year, and then 22 the year after that. There's an out after this season, but you're still left on the hook for $12 million dead cap, and I think if you're trading for Von Miller, you're not doing it for a rental anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, you're on the hook for like you're on a quarterback salary, essentially, if you're bringing in Von Miller and he's 30
yeah.
years old.
So, yeah.
It's a lot.
It is. That is not buying low, probably. There's like the Clowney thing, just to revisit it, but, you know, what did he end up being traded for? Was it a boatload of stuff?
No, like a third round pick and
right.
maybe a couple like backup linebackers. Like it was almost nothing.
Yeah, because you couldn't sign him. You had no certainty that he'd be on your team beyond the 1 year that you were getting him for, and so that was, you know, if he chose to come to you, maybe you could hope that he would resign with you, and you know you could structure a trade with conditional picks or whatever, but. Buying low on him seemed like a possibility, and that's what happened. Miller probably isn't that, so I don't know that I can get too far getting really wound up about that. But that is that's a piece that would – I mean, I don't know. How much better can their defense be than it is? Like, you're not going to just shut teams out, right?
That's the thing I was thinking. Like, your defense is already maybe the best in the league, and if not the best, it's certainly one of them. What do I need him for? If I'm already rushing the passer pretty well, I mean, I guess you could go from, hey, I've got the best defense in the league to now I'm a historically good defense. But other than that, like I like the idea because it's exciting and because I do
yeah.
think he's a player you don't have. Like, I don't think they have an elite pass rusher where one-on-one, you know that guy every single time is a threat to get to the quarterback.
It feels 100% like agree.
Yeah, it feels like yeah. they're doing it more in volume right now with just a bunch of guys. So he presents that. But again, I think if I want to go chase a big fish like that, then I think I kind of want to do that on offense with the number one wide receiver.
Right. That I still think that is it's not exactly like Jalen Ramsey because Mike and I have talked about Jalen Ramsey a few times when that story first cropped up when he had the confrontation with Marone and then demanded to be traded and everything. Unlike what you're saying with pass rush, which I agree, like, they've got guys that are they're okay. Like Hughes is good. Murphy's been good. But they don't have a monster there. But they're okay. They don't have a glaring need. Cornerback like Ramsey, I don't really even. It's crazy to say I don't need a guy that's that good. But like Wallace is really good, and he's.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like he's playing for free, right? And Tre'Davious White is still on. You know, he's on a first round pick, a low first round pick. salary still. White is going to be my cornerstone guy. I'm not going to go trade for Jalen Ramsey and then sign him because I don't need to do that. I've got Tre'Davious White. I'm going to pay him, right? So there's not a fit there. And the defense is already not a place that I need to supplement, really. I mean, the receiver idea still is, to me, the best idea. And, you know, I'm open to either idea that is that are the ones that get talked about the most. Like Diggs, you know, we'll see. That thing might have calmed down to the point where nothing happens with him. I don't know, right? But he, at 25 currently, with, you know, a contract for years to come, I'm willing to pay a price for that to acquire that player because that is a player the Bills do not have. A.J. Green is more risky. He's a free agent after the year. He's 32. He's got an ankle injury that's kept him out all year this year. That's a little more like Clowney to me. If I can buy low there, maybe just a round higher than what Cincinnati will get if he leaves as a free agent, which I think would be a third-round pick most likely. So if I got to do a second-round pick for A.J. Green just to rent him for this year, I don't know. That's not long-range thinking. That's I got to have this guy because it's going to make that much of a difference. And I'm tempted to do something like that. But I would understand the argument against it. Like, it's not a slam dunk to me that you would have to do that. Like, I like the Diggs idea more because even though I got to pay more to get him, he is someone who you already know is this good. And, like, he's not A.J. Green good, but he's a lot younger and under contract. So if I got to give up a first-round pick to do that, well, I probably was going to spend a first-round pick to try to find a guy that's as good as Stephon Diggs anyway. So I'd be all right with that. Like, to me, that makes sense. Green is a little riskier to me, I think, because it really would be a rental. Not that you can't sign him. There's no reason you couldn't. It's just I don't know that I'd want to with his age and the injury history there. That might be a little scarier, I think. 803-0551-888-550-2550. I have said a couple of times when this has come up that I anticipate us talking a lot more about this, and I know Joe and his brother did that today. I'm thinking tomorrow will be some of this. I'll have a lot of hockey tomorrow because we'll be at 716, and I've got Jason Bottrell and Rob Ray. But I think, you know, the trade idea is something to consider. I mean, the Bills did, when they were having a better year than a lot of us thought they were going to have 2 years ago, they did spend a third-round pick to get Kelvin Benjamin. So there's at least a little bit of a track record there that indicates that Bean is someone who might be willing to be active, which is nice. Let's talk to Sean. Sean, you're up next here on WGR. Thanks for calling.
I agree not trading anybody for defense. I think our defense is good enough. I think that we should go after somebody like Trent Williams. And the guy is still available out there, and he's a all-pro left tackle. And if we can open up that, if we can make that offensive line just a little bit better, I think that'll open up the game for the receivers and definitely for the running backs.
I don't know how available Trent Williams is. What he is not playing. That doesn't necessarily make him available. Like the Redskins, and I know teams talk like this, but the Redskins are so screwed up that to me, they might actually be the team that goes all the way with it. Like, yeah, we know he said he doesn't want to come and play here and he does, you know, he wants out and he doesn't trust our doctors or whatever the genesis of that problem is. They just might be the team that goes, yeah, I know somebody gave up two first-round picks for Laremy Tunsil. We don't want to trade Trent Williams, even though we're rebuilding and we can't win games. They might be a team that is dopey enough to do that. So that's one. Two, for me, why I don't like this idea is I don't think it's a glaring need. I don't think it's a need at all. I think Deion Dawkins is good. I think Deion Dawkins has played well this year. So I don't need – is Trent Williams a better left tackle than Deion Dawkins? Sure. Yeah, I mean, he's accomplished a lot more in his career. He's had a – you know, he's more well-known. He's better. Anybody ranking tackles is going to tell you he's better than Deion Dawkins, but I don't think I need him. I really don't. I think Deion Dawkins is good enough. I think I'm good at that position right now. So I don't like that idea much at all, honestly. And you know, even if it were something that the Redskins wanted to do, I don't know. I wouldn't want to get in on it myself. Let's talk to Lou. Lou's next up on WGR. Hi, Lou. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Bulldog. Just quick, your thoughts on something. Oliver, the rookie defensive lineman, is it a good thing we don't hear his name a lot? I mean, is he just there plugging up the middle? Look at the stats at the end of the game, and I don't see he's involved in a lot of tackles. Is this a good thing or bad thing?
Good question. I'm... There has not really been any play that you go, oh, look at that. You know, I think there's been some stuff I've seen in film breakdowns where, you know, he's doing his job, he's playing a role, he's not a problem. But I think it's okay, even on a defense that's been as excellent as the Bills' defense has been, I think it's okay to say you want more from him. That you were hoping for more from him, more impact, more just, you know, in the backfield, just plays, you know. I don't think there's been very much. So in a certain way, it's okay you're not hearing his name because he's not a problem, and you could be hearing his name because he's getting run over or something, and, you know, the defense is just too good for that, and I think, you know, he deserves some credit for that. He's a part of the defense. But he has not been, to me, and this might be erroneous, and people who are really going hard studying the All-22 and stuff might say he's been better than this, than I'm saying, but I think it's okay to expect a little more from him. That's how I would put it. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. We'll take a time out here and get Paul Hamilton in on the topic of the day today, which is your level of confidence in both teams. I know Paul's our hockey guy, of course, but he does cover the Bills as well. So we'll touch base with him after this. We're at Duff's on Niagara Falls Boulevard at Military in Niagara Falls. I'm the Bulldog. Mike Schopp has the day off. Stay tuned. More coming right up on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton with Mike Schopp and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, rolling along here at Duff's, Niagara Falls Boulevard and Military in Niagara Falls. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schopp has the day off today, and Paul Hamilton is joining me live on the Wester Hotline. Paul's appearance is brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Mr. Hamilton, good afternoon.
How are you? I was just, you know, since this is a fantasy segment, I was wondering, since Ingram's not playing tonight, do you think Hockenson would be a good choice for Monday?
What is his zodiac sign? Hawkinson. Can you tell me about that? Because I don't like to talk about this publicly, and we are on the air. So I guess I'll divulge it. That is how I make a lot of my fantasy lineup choices. Is it depends on what the horoscope says.
Well, he played at the University of Iowa. Does that matter?
No, that really doesn't. No, I would need to know the man's birthday, Paul. Really, that's what it comes down to. All right. How come you didn't come down to see me? What are you doing? You got nothing to do, right?
I've been out and about. If it wasn't in Niagara Falls, maybe I could have made it. But I was just at that Duff's in Niagara Falls to meet a friend probably a month ago. It's a great place. I enjoyed it.
I got out here in like 15 minutes from the city. But I drive like a lunatic, so, you know, that's for another time, too, along with the horoscope stuff. So, Paul, You should weigh in on today. What I'm talking about largely today is like level of confidence in both of these teams right now. Sabres 3-0-1, the Bills 4-1. Lay it on me here. Like, give me the Bills first, because we'll spend probably more time on the Sabres. Like, how are you feeling about all this?
I think my level of confidence with the Bills is good because of the schedule that they have. I mean, if they're not 6-1 after seven games, you know, I think they basically got the heaviest lift out of the way with Tennessee. And now you've got the Eagles. You never know what you're getting with the Eagles from one day to the next. I suppose they could pop up on you. But, you know, Redskins and Dolphins, you know, I just think with the defense they have. And, you know, there are things I do like about Allen. I do like his perseverance, how he can get you through the end of a game, even if he hasn't played well all day. I know he hasn't thrown a ball 30 yards yet this year, but for a completion, he's thrown it 30 yards. But I think that's something that might be correctable as he gets a little bit older and you know, doesn't rush things and maybe gets a good base under him when he's throwing the ball. More technique than anything else. Because he has had some guys open and missed them, and most of the time it's overthrown, where you know he's got guys in stride and he overthrows them and you know missed the touchdown opportunity. So I like what they've done with the line. I do like Allen. I don't like some of the decisions he makes. I don't want him to get – I thought against Tennessee, I thought he was a little tentative in his running. I mean, because you could see he was thinking, should I go down or should I keep going? And then he went down, so he didn't take the big hit, especially the week after a concussion. But it got to be a little bit hesitant at times, too, like, what should I do here type of thing. And, you know, that'll get better, too, as he starts getting used to what he needs to do out there.
I think a part of what's going on with the running is the way teams are rushing him and sort of – it's almost like last year he'd take off and there'd be all this room. And he was getting big yards, and I mean, it was a huge story, like what his running was like last year. I mean, it was a weapon, and so I think teams have kind of gone to school on that. And it looks to me like they're almost baiting him into running, and there's just not a lot there. You know what I mean? Like whatever downfield isn't presenting itself to his satisfaction, and so he thinks, okay, I can do this. There's an opportunity, and oh no, really, there's not. The edge guys have just kind of kept me in here, and once he breaks out of there, there's like two, three guys ready to get on him. So, I think teams are doing a better job of really defending his running more than anything else.
And I think what would help him too is if his receivers were a little bit better at running routes. There are many times where there isn't a guy even close to open. I mean, and he's looking around downfield, and he might have a running back underneath that he can go to, but he's looking around, and it's like, no, nobody's open. I think if he had some receivers that are a little better route runners, I mean, sometimes they do get loose, but there's a lot of times where you look downfield, and you see what he's looking at, and it's not good. So I think that would help, too.
Yeah, I feel like I'm waiting for the play where he breaks it, kind of like, you remember the final play in Miami last year when he scrambled around and then threw it, and it wasn't far enough, and Clay didn't come back for it, some combination thereof, and like they could have won the game, but they didn't. But like that style play, I have not seen that play yet, and like I think that's a play that. I know they don't draw that play up, right? It's not like the coordinator can go, hey, just run around like an idiot back there for 12 seconds. And, you know, John Brown, you run to the, you know, to the bottle cap. You know, I know that's not how it works. But that play, Roethlisberger's made a living on that play. Mahomes makes that play. And I know I'm talking about elite players, but Allen has the skill set to make that play. You know, like I'm waiting for that play to become something that he can be successful at, and I think you need the receivers to like sort of cooperate with you on that and find, you know, get open and get to a spot where he can heave it down to them. You know,
yeah, you need that to happen too, but he'll also take off more than Mahomes or Roethlisberger will, especially Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Allen will get in that situation where he's running around, and instead of letting that play finish and develop, he'll take off and go gain 10 yards or 5 yards or whatever, how many yards in front of it. So I think that's a big difference between the two also.
The thing that is encouraging, though, about their offense, Paul, and this doesn't have to happen, but it certainly could. The elimination of the mistakes, like who doesn't want to eliminate their mistakes in whatever it is you do, right? I'd like to eliminate my mistakes. There's plenty of them, on the air and off. But if Allen can be sort of reined in to some extent in that regard, they are moving the ball. You know, that's the thing. They're not scoring largely because of the turnovers. But their yards are there. Like, they're not blowing up or anything. But they're moving the ball, I think, in a, middle-of-the-pack type of way. And that's an improvement. And they just need to get rid of the turnovers that are costing them opportunities to put points on the board, I think.
Well, the Jet game was – I didn't mind their offense at all except for him fumbling the ball.
Same here.
And Beasley cost him an interception, but they were just as you said, they were moving the football. The offense to me was clicking, and then the fumble or Beasley has it go off him to an interception, and that happened. But I wasn't all that concerned about. Well, this guy they can't move the ball. All they're doing is turn it over, and no, that wasn't the case there.
Yeah, it wasn't three and out or whatever. Yeah, it was. Yeah, they. Yeah, I think they're moving it. Yeah. All right. Well, good on that, Paul. Thank you for playing along with me here. The Sabres. I think the maybe the scariest thing about what they're doing so far is that the power play is carrying them. They're leading the league in goals, and look, there's a lot of talent on that power play, and it could very well be a top five power play in the league all year long because of the skill that is there. But, you know, even a top five power play is going to be converting at about half the rate they're converting at right now, right? I mean, they are knocking it out of the park here with the power play.
Well, in the first two games, it wasn't just the power play, but basically in the last two games, that's how they've put points, goals on the board, is basically it's going to be power play. And it pretty much was three yesterday. Montreal just gotten the guy out of penalty box when they scored on the 4-on-3, so it wasn't technically a power play goal. But it pretty much was. That's how they got that win. And that's the only reason the way they got a point in Columbus, too, was because of the power play. So I think they need to get back to the way they played in the first couple of games. Now, the thing is, too, other teams have tape. They saw the first two games. And they go, okay, this is what they're going to be doing here, huh? So now they're going to do.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Counteracting moves defensively to help to try to throw the Sabres off. And to be able to counter on the Sabres and try to make them start running around. There were times on defense yesterday where they were running around like they were last year. People were out of position. They were chasing the Canadians, and the Canadians looked like the Harlem Globetrotters out there the way they were moving the puck in the offensive zone. There were other times where the Sabres looked like they did in the first two games and were clicking on all cylinders. They were in the zone. They were on the forecheck. They were doing well. It was really a strange game that way, how both teams would take the momentum of the game and just take it over so quickly. It wasn't like you take the momentum and keep it for 15, 20 minutes. You take the momentum and maybe for three shifts, it's going to be your turn to be in the offensive zone. And then all of a sudden you make a mistake and now it's coming the other way. Now you're hemmed into your zone. And it also depended which line was out there. The Larson line spent pretty much the whole night in the offensive zone, creating opportunities. And the Mittelstadt line, when they were on the ice, pretty much spent the whole night in the defensive zone. So it also depended on which line was on the ice.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. I think it's encouraging that Larson, Gergensen, Oposo are playing the way they're playing. And I know you want to get goals. And I think like a part of you know, when people cite the possession stats and the shot attempts and all that stuff, it's something that that line is absolutely dominating at. It's because it should lead to chances and should lead to goals eventually. You know what I mean? If you're spending that much time, certainly you're definitely not getting scored on if you're down there. And, you know, just the odd schmozzle, the bounce here, whatever, a rebound that just falls favorably for you. Like, I think you're going to get goals. I'm not saying you're going to get a landslide of goals, but I think you'll get production from that line if they keep dominating like that. I think it's only a matter of time, even with, you know, it not being the most skilled line, although Oposo has got, you know, he's got pretty nice hands.
Yeah, and they were in their defensive zone maybe once all night, and they got scored on. That was the play where Armia takes a puck off the back wall and with one hand just flings it up out in front of the net. It's like, what? Somebody tweeted, might have been Jeremy or you or somebody, that he should get a lottery ticket. That
it was Jeremy, yeah.
It was like, yeah, he's had a pretty crazy night, and that assist was part of it. It was one hand on the stick. He played it off the wall and just swatted it out in front, and, of course, his guy's standing there. And I'm not going to really jump on the Larson line for that. I don't know how much what are you going to do about that one? But that was much almost the only time they were in the defensive zone. They were in the offensive zone the rest of the game.
The plays that led to goals, I mean, the defenseman Chariot scored, like that was more of a regular play, you know, off of a cycle and whatever. The other plays, the shorthanded goal was just, to me, classic. We've got the man advantage. We'll get the puck back. It'll be fine. Like that's what Eichel and Olofsson to me look like on that play. Like, we're fine here. I don't have to really dig in. Whoa. Whoops. Right? And suddenly the guy's all alone in front of my goalie.
Bulldog, what the problem was is they came right at Dahlin as he's coming out of the zone, basically pinned him over on that side, and he turned and put the puck right back where he came from. And my thought is, Rasmus, who do you think is going to be there? You just left that area. That's your area.
Right.
So you basically tried to drop the puck back to yourself. And that's not going to work. And next thing you know, there's Thompson standing there with the puck. So that was more just of, you know, again, a young player. And I had a chance to talk to his defensive partner, Colin Miller, today about the youngster. And that's the type of thing. I mean, he's a mentor for him now. And that's the type of thing that he's trying. All right, Rasmus will now come to the bench and be crazy mad. And that's the type of thing that he's trying to get out of him. Say, you know, look at. You know, you're 19 years old. You're going to make some mistakes. We got more hockey to play here. You can't sit here on the bench and be throwing things and brooding, and you understand you did something wrong, and we have another shift coming up. You know, and that's where he's trying to help the kid.
Right. Dahlin's ice time has been kind of – it's been something to watch, coupled with Ristolainen still playing like 25 minutes, at least last night. If there has been a night in Dahlin's career so far where – I wasn't against him being scaled back later in the game, it was last night. He just had a really tough night, I thought, Paul. Even though he picked up what he picked up, an assist, right? One assist on the night.
It was in the neutral zone, all night long in the neutral zone.
Yeah.
He really had a tough night. But yet, here is a 4-on-3 power play in overtime. And I'm sitting there going, why are these four on the ice? What are you doing? It's not that they're bad hockey players, but – Dahlin and Olofsson have been red hot on the power play, and neither one of them are out there. And I'm like, what are you doing? And then they score, and I go, oh, okay, you're the coach. I guess that's why you're coaching and I'm not.
Right.
Because it worked.
Joe corrects me. It was two assists for Dahlin again last night, by the way.
Yeah, he's actually third in the league in scoring right now.
Right. Well, I mean, that's – and he's playing – what's he playing, like 15 minutes a night?
Yeah, depending on the night. Yeah, depending on the night.
No, he's averaging 18.35. Sorry, I underestimated it. But either way, he's producing. I mean, it's tremendous. And, you know, I think those nights, I just figure that's part of it, right? I mean, it's just going to happen. How about Miller, Paul? Like, both he and Johansson, like, they hook up on the winner there in overtime. And both of those guys, I think, have – Miller, I think, is pretty much as advertised. I was very, very – I had very high hopes for him. Johansson, I was a little more worried because of the role he was going to put in. He was a signing I liked, but I was a little concerned about him maybe being put at center again for the first time in a few years and whether or not that was going to be a good idea. But, boy, the outside of the play where Skinner stole the puck and did it all himself against Columbus, his other two goals had been perfect, really high-level skill passes from Johansson.
He knows where to be. You know, as Johansson, in that case, he's just a smart player, knows where to be. In Miller's case, I think he's already the Sabres' best defenseman. Matt doesn't surprise me. I kind of thought that might be the case. And that's, to me, why Ristolainen does not need to be playing 25 minutes like he did last night. And everybody, they've said it for years, different coaches, different GMs. Yeah. We got to scale this guy back. And they don't scale him back. And to me, there's no excuse for it. He does not need to be playing. Last night was not his best game. And so it wasn't like, you know, he's really playing well tonight. We got to roll him out there. He's really playing mediocre tonight, and you really didn't need to be rolling him out there. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, Miller is your best defenseman right now. And I know maybe Dahlin's having a rough night, but you can always – you switch the forward units. I mean, you don't late in the game, you don't want Olsson out there, so VC winds up there. So why can't you throw McCabe out there with Miller? You know, it doesn't have to be Dahlin. If he's having a rough night, you can throw McCabe out there with Miller and let them – you know, roll up the minutes if you want to. But in my mind right now, Miller's playing the best of the six.
Okay, we'll take a timeout here and get you more or Paul Hamilton right after this on WGR. Now more with Paul Hamilton on WGR. Is it possible that Ristolainen is, like, hypnotizing coaches, going out there when he's not supposed to and nobody wants to yell at him? Like, what? It's incredible that when you say it that way that you've got – I think Bilsma – although I'll bet Nolan said it too. Like, everybody has talked about wanting him – he'll be more effective if he plays 20 minutes or 22 minutes and just shave that down. And here we are, like, a whole new crew – you know, at least a couple of new pieces back there that can ease the burden, and it just keeps happening. I don't know. I think it's really something to watch. Unless they're just continuing to put him in that role so that they can say, like, yes, he's playing number one defenseman minutes. What do you want to give us in a trade?
No, I don't believe right? that stuff. I don't believe in that stuff at all. Especially this coach. I don't think Bottrell's telling him who to play, who not to play, and how long. I think when he's good, he's very good. I mean, when he's good and on his game, he is a number one defenseman. And I think that's the problem, is he tricks you. You're like, look at how good he is. And then it makes you want to, we got to get him out there more because I want to see more of that. But then you see 7 minutes of what's he doing out there, you know, type of thing. And, right. And that's the problem. But when he is good, he definitely is a number one defenseman and a very good defenseman in this league. It's just not enough. You don't see enough of it. And I think that's what really tantalizes coaches to want to get him out there because they're hoping the good comes out.
Yeah. Paul, what do you think needs to happen for Mittelstadt and VC? Rodriguez had his first night on that line last night, and, I mean, they just were – you said it already. They were hemmed in their zone all night. You know, someone on Twitter, I don't remember who now, made a point about how long it took Reinhart to really get to the level he's at now. And maybe we got to keep that in mind with Mittelstadt. Because it's it's not happening. Like, he's in a pretty sheltered situation now because of Johansson being here with that line with Skinner on it, and it's still just not happening.
I think Nate McKinnon's a better example. It took him 4 years. He didn't get in the 90s in points till his fifth season, and I know people don't want to hear that. So it could take 3-4 years for Mittelstadt to get where he wants, where the Sabres want him to be. Couturier in Philadelphia is another example of that. It took him 3-4 years to become the player that the Flyers thought he could be. So, yeah, I think it's going to be patience with him. I know people don't want to hear it. I'm trying to think if Jimmy Vesey's had a scoring chance yet. I can't think of a play where I thought, ooh, he just missed.
Yeah.
He just hasn't. But you got to be in the offensive zone to get some scoring chances. So maybe it's time to take Sobotka off the Johansson line and flip Vesey over to the right wing on that line and try something a little bit different. And flip things somehow or another to try to get that line going.
Yeah, I mentioned Vesey had one. There was one, he got the puck in the high slot, it was on his backhand, and he just flipped a backhand at the goalie. Like, that was the first time all year, really, for me, that I went, oh, hey, there's VC. Oh, yeah, okay, no. That was mostly, there hasn't been a lot there. But, you know, he's not someone I was expecting to come in here and, like, really light it up. You know, he scored, 17 goals every year he's been in the league. So, yeah. You know, if it's early for the guys who are really producing, it's also early for the guys who aren't, right? Plenty of time. Hopefully it'll come. So
yeah, I was thinking maybe he could get to 20. You know, we'll see.
Yeah. All right, Paul. Thanks a lot for this. Appreciate it, and look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Right? We're gonna have you for an hour tomorrow, right?
Yes, down at 716.
Paul is going to join me at 716 at 5 o'clock and hang out and talk to Jason Bottrell with me, which I'm happy about. So all right, I'll see you tomorrow.
The only shame
about
being in 716 is it's game day, so I can't have a beer. But other than that, it'll be great.
Mm, yeah. I won't tell if you sneak one. Just so you know. You're too much. You're a pro's pro, Paul. I know. I don't have to say that to you. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Take care.
That's Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline. His appearance brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. All right, that's a wrap from Duff's on Niagara Falls Boulevard and Military in the Falls. We will talk to you tomorrow from 716. It's a Saber game day, so we'll have a lot of hockey, but some football too. Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports will be on. We'll have Paul Hamilton and Jason Bottrell, Sabres GM, for the first time this year. So check that out all tomorrow on WGR. Stay tuned. More Sneaky Joe after this on WGR.
It's the same old thing again. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
Gentlemen, be free.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.